So let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word this morning and turn over to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. This morning and this evening, we will cover verses 8 through 11, and I'd like to read all of that to you because you can see where we are this morning and where we'll be heading this evening. The title of the message this morning is God is Serious About Obedience. As I read through this, as a reminder, this is Paul the Apostle writing to a young pastor, Titus. This is a letter that was sent to him to encourage him on how to lead the church, how to pastor the people of the church, how to trust the Lord in difficult times, just to be a faithful shepherd of the flock. And Paul writes this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. This morning, again, the first truth that I want us to see, and we'll spend most of our time in verse 8, well, all of it in verse 8 this morning, that God is serious about obedience. Obedience that leads us to good works. So let me kind of give you a definition of good work. A good work is the same thing that Jesus did while he was on this earth. A good work is something that might have temporal value, but it has an eternal goal. Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. So what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What Jesus did, you can find in Scripture. What Jesus would do is maybe from your own imagination, and you could be way off the mark. So study Scripture. Find out who Jesus is. Understand the characteristics of God and how that came into being when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then do what He did. Verse 8, this saying is trustworthy. Well, all of Scripture is trustworthy. When a parent tells a child something, they're not kidding, right? When you want your child to be obedient, you say, make your bed. There may be times, though, you might look at your child and say, are you listening to me? Let me have your eyes and your ears. I mean for this bed to be made this morning, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. And so we see an emphasis this morning. These words are trustworthy. I want you to really pay attention. If you're dozing off already this morning, you need to sit up straight and listen because God is speaking. He speaks throughout all of Scripture. Every word, every jot and tittle is important, but He's making an emphasis this morning. This is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God, Christians, may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So what do we see this morning? That we're to be devoted. Devoted. This Greek word in the original means to set before or to give attention to be eager and diligent. Are you devoted to good works? It also has a lasting meaning. It's not just good works today, but it also means that you and I are to keep on doing good works. That we are to finish a good work. You know, there's a lot of folks that might come up with a good plan and they might begin doing something good, but they never finish it. That's not being devoted, is it? Devotion means what you start, you finish. It means to persevere in doing the good work. The idea of this word means that against all odds, against pressures, against feelings that you might have, you and I are to do the good works that Jesus did And these good works are profitable for everyone. We'll see at the end of the message, not only they're profitable for the people that we do them for, it's profitable for us as well, because we will eventually reap a reward. So are you persevering in the good works that God has called you to, even though you might be opposed? Even though there may be someone that doesn't want you to do what you're doing. So three questions. Is there anything that you haven't completed, that you've started? Anything you've stopped doing that God wants you to do? Why have you given up? Why are you not devoted? Consistently devoted. Not just hit or miss. Not just devoted part of the week, and then the rest of the week you're not devoted. I mean, consistently being devoted. And what has changed? What has caused you to change your devotion to serving the Lord? And that takes on many different capacities and many different ways of doing good works and be devoted to those good works. So first of all, be devoted. Secondly, we see we're to be careful. Careful to devote ourselves to good works. This word careful means to think upon. It means to plan good works, to consider, to focus upon living a life of good works. It's not that good works just tumble out of us. I mean, we literally need to sit down, just like you plan your week. I believe we need to plan the things that would honor God and be a blessing to someone else. What is controlling your mind? What are you thinking about? This word careful means that your thoughts should be centered upon a good God who calls us to do good things. Or have we just kind of fallen into a rut, kind of living the status quo Christian life? We've plateaued years ago and we're not really wanting to move any further or becoming more like Christ. We kind of feel like, well, I'm going to heaven and I'm just going to maintain the good stuff I'm doing. You know, God is that began the good work in you and that began the good work in me. He's not finished with us. There is no plateau of the Christian life. The Christian life is ever becoming like Jesus Christ. We never really attain it in this life. Oh, positionally, we have all of Christ that we could ever hope to have. But practically, as we live out our daily life in Him, there is more and more of us becoming more like Christ and less like who we are. What fills your mind? Just good things for yourself? Are good things for others. So we're to be devoted. I mean, this is a trustworthy thing. He's really wanting us to hear this. We're to be devoted. We're to be careful. And again, primarily he's talking to a pastor here and he's telling him how to lead the church. But there's always secondary truth here. I believe this is the way every Christian ought to live. Devoted to good works, careful to do good works. And notice this, thirdly, be insistent on those you teach to do good works. It's not so much an invitation. It's this word means demand it. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. This word insist means to be adamant, firm, unrelenting, persevering, pounding, resolute, determined, definite, and unwavering. That's my call as a pastor to the congregation. And really, that's the call of every Christian, of every Christian father and every Christian mother to their children. And every Christian to every Christian. I remember years ago, a young fellow came to our church and he wanted to, maybe thought he was being called to be into the pastorate, and he wanted to spend some time with me. Well, I didn't want to just sit down and just talk about whatever. I said, let's kind of put together a plan, and here's a great textbook on what it means to be a pastor, and it goes over all the different areas of pastor's responsibility, his personal responsibility, his family responsibility, his church responsibility, the responsibility that he has from the pulpit. And when we got to the pulpit part, we encouraged him to read the chapter, then we would discuss it, and that third or fourth session or whenever it was, like, you know, I'm having a trouble with this. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, when you preach God's word, you're so definite and you tell us exactly what God wants us to do and how we're to do it. And he goes, I just really don't feel like God is calling me to do that. I said, well, he's not calling you to pastor then. Because everything you read this prior week, you saw that this is what God said, to preach God's word in season and out of season. That means to people who want to hear it and those that don't want to hear it. And you call them to repentance. You call them, you exhort them, because God's word is profitable and it's given and it's God breathed for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction, so that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And what has happened is so many people in Christianity have watched too much TV, or they've been members of a church where a pastor would say, just consider this. You could do it if you want to, or not do it if you don't want to. You're under grace. Just don't sweat it too much. That's not what Scripture says. This is a trustworthy saying. He's saying, listen up, and I want you to insist on these things. That's a powerful command of God. We are to earnestly insist. We're to constantly and consistently insist. We're to steadfastly insist. Why is that? Well, Scripture tells us. Look there in Galatians 6:9. This is a really blessing. This is a blessing for Christians to do this, because let us not grow weary in doing good. Don't get tired of doing it. Don't get just used to doing it. For at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's a reason that God has sent His ministers and pastors to insist upon all Christians to do good. Because in the ultimate end of all things, those folks who are obedient are going to reap this incredible harvest of blessing. So for those people who think a pastor is just somebody that stands up and just tries to relate to the people or tell a few funny jokes every now and then, or just the goal of the day is to make everybody feel good before they leave the worship service, that is not biblical. A sinner should not feel good after a pastor preaches God's word. I remember several years ago, I had two Mormon kids walk in here, sit in the very back. Had my notes here, but I could tweak them because I knew they were here, and I needed, you know, to make sure that they understood that being saved by Jesus Christ is not a matter of works, but it's by the grace of God. And who Jesus Christ really is, He is not a created being. He is an eternal God from eternity past to eternity future. Went through all of that because I knew those two Mormon boys were here and they needed to hear the gospel. And then after the service, several of us gathered around them. And we were being kind and generous. We invited them to the back. We wanted to talk to them more. And one of those young men said, Pastor, he looked me in the eye and said, "Boy, that was a great sermon. I agree with everything that you just said." I said, "Really? You do?" And I went back over point by point of what I just previously said. And he had to say, "Well, no, I really don't agree with that." I said, "But you just said you did." And then point two, "No, I really don't believe that Jesus Christ was eternal. I believe that He was a spirit of God and was eventually born and came into being." "Well, so you don't agree with that." We got through about three or four things. And the young man literally lied to me, saying he agreed with it. But then when you began to dig deeper, he did not agree with it. And our hope was to tell him this, listen, don't be deceived by those people that you've been around all of your life, even your parents if they're Mormons, even the bishop of your Mormon church. That there is a biblical truth and God is, and you've heard it tonight, and it's not, and we are not in agreement with you. We insist that your good works, it's not you do good works to get to heaven, you do good works to show that that's where you're going. And we told him, I said, "You know, I know that if you go home and you tell your parents this and your bishop this, that they will excommunicate you from the Mormon church, and that would be the greatest day of your life. And then you can give your life to the real Jesus Christ, and you can truly be looking forward to heaven one day. And then you'll really be sharing the gospel of Christ when you go door to door." And we'll be here for you. We'll help you make that transition. That's the call that God has placed on all of our lives. He insists upon it. Hebrews 10:24 reminds us, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Spur them on. Insist that they do it. Encourage them to do what is right again, because they're going to reap this incredible harvest. So this morning, I ask you, in the ministry that God has given you, are you spurring people on? Are you discouraging people in what you say and how you live? You know, people are watching us. You know, when I was a little kid, I had a buddy that lived down the street. He got a BB gun. He was a few years older than me. And man, he got that BB gun and he started going around the old hickory and killing bird after bird after bird. I thought, man, I want to be like that guy. What a great shot he is. A few years later, that was in my mind. I got my first BB gun. And I remember in my mind today, the first little metal lark that I shot off of a telephone line. And I didn't have one of those big, high-powered ones, you know, like he had to just kill him dead. Man, I shot that little bird in the chest, and I saw him breathe his last, and it broke my heart. He was a terrible influence on me. My daddy would have known. He probably made me eat that thing, and I should have, because whatever you kill, you ought to be eating. You don't kill just for the fun of killing. It's God's creation. That little bird's heart was beating in its chest, and I took that beautiful life for no reason. What about us? Who is watching us? What are we doing that our children are picking up, or other people in our Sunday school classes, or in our workplace, or in school, wherever we are? Are you spurring people on to good works, or by your lifestyle leading them the opposite way? Well, God this morning is saying, listen up. And God is encouraging me to insist upon you and I doing these good works, the things that Jesus Christ would do and has done. So we're to be devoted to good works. We're to be careful in good works. We're to be insistent in good works. And thirdly, we're to be that witness. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Well, they're excellent and profitable for the witness. The whole point of this verse is to stress the absolute necessity of maintaining good works. Again, the works that Jesus Christ would do. Some that might be temporal, but all with the goal of eternal value. You heard some of those missionaries say, we get to know kids, we want to know them, but the ultimate goal is so we can share the gospel. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to save. So we might talk about football. We might talk about whatever people might initially be interested in. But our goal is to eventually get them to the point to see that they are a sinner and they are headed for a devil's hell and they will burn there forever and ever. And once they understand that, then the gospel has meaning. And you can tell them, but they don't have to spend forever burning in the flames of hell. But Jesus Christ has come, bore their sin debt, died on a cross to pay for all of their sins, was raised again to life to prove that He has power over sin and death. And if they would but trust in that finished work on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, put their hope and trust in Him, then all of their sins could be forgiven and they'll go to heaven one day forever and ever. That's what it means to be a witness. That's why we do the good works. Notice there in Ephesians 2:8-10, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So it's God, it's God, it's God who has saved, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then he tells us why he saved us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. To what? To do good works. So you have been created to do good works. I have been created to do good works. God is saying, listen up. I'm telling you this. I want you to understand it. Your pastor this morning is insisting upon it. And we should be insisting upon it in each of our lives as we know and we love each other, because God has prepared all that in advance for us to do. That's what saved people do. Saved people do good things, do good works. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, she's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Faith without deeds is a dead faith. Works do not save us, but faith without good works doesn't show that you're saved either. It's faith alone in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, by His grace alone. And once we are saved, then we're changed. We're new in Him, and the good works follow. Therefore, Jesus said in the same way, let your light, your good works, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Notice what happens. And praise your Father in heaven. And then finally, be blessed. Be devoted, be careful, be insistent, be a witness, and then you and I will be blessed, because that's what God has promised. These things are excellent for and profitable for people. That's all people. We're included in that. Those that receive the good works that we do for them by the power of God in us. And we receive the blessing as well. Scripture is very clear. Galatians 6:6-8. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. He reaps selfishness. Selfishness comes back to him. He reaps goodness. Goodness comes. Whatever you're planting in your life is growing in your life. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then again, we see in context, verse 9, I just quoted it earlier, but notice this in context. The promise to those of you, those of us, that will set our hearts on God and set our hearts on doing good works. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, and the proper time is determined by God. It's not your determination. And at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So this morning, as we prepare for the Lord's table, can I just ask you, as I've done this week in preparation for this message, and I'll do again today as I prepare for the Lord's table, you consider what God is insisting upon us this morning when you consider your life and the good works that God has called you to. So would you bow your head with me and let me remind you of these things, and you let the Holy Spirit either point out some areas that you need to do better in, but also point out some areas that, man, you have just brought so many good things to so many good people, and He wants to encourage you to continue to do this in the rest of your days in this world. Are you devoted to good works? Are we careful in good works? Are we insistent from our personal standpoint, and those we have authority over that's been given to us by God, that they do good works? Are we a witness? Are we living out those good works? And are we reaping the blessing of those good works? Well, Father, we're preparing our hearts this morning for your table. And again, we're to take it in a worthy manner. And the only way we can be worthy is that our hearts positionally are right in you. That means we need to be Christians in order to take it. Not Baptist, but Christians. And secondly, practically, all of our sins that we've committed should be confessed and repented of. Not just confess. We're not just agreeing that they're wrong. We're saying that they're wrong and we're going to stop it. Or it's wrong and we're going to start doing what we haven't been doing. And if you're not willing to do that, I pray that you don't take the table today, because the Bible says that you will reap, you will cause judgment upon yourself. But if you're willing to do that, then please participate in this celebration, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So, Father, we're going to be quiet before you this morning and let each person in here have their time with you as we prepare for your table.